This is PFW in Progress.
All right, listen up. I don't like white people. I hate rednecks. You people are rednecks. That means I'm enjoying this shit.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Now get this. We ain't partners. We ain't brothers and we ain't friends. I'm putting you down and keeping you down, and you're going to be sorry you ever met me.
Already sorry.
Paul Perillo.
I'm speaking of moaning, my stomach is something, bro. I gotta go get something.
We eat when I say we eat.
You know, that's bullshit. That's the last straw, right? I want some food now. If you don't like it, you take me back to the penitentiary and kiss my hungry ass goodbye, right? You took me out here. You've been treating me like shit since we first left. I want some food in a nice place, a nice atmosphere.
And Andy. And Andy. Andy Hart.
I want the rest of you cowboys to know something. There's a new sheriff in town. His name is...
Some guy named Tom.
Now be cool. Shut up.
PFW in Progress.
Jack, tell me a story.
F*** you.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We're all here, and this is a very special edition of PFW in Progress because Eric's in Egypt. No, actually, as you probably know, if you're listening to this live right now, any moment now, although they've been saying that since 10:30, Commissioner Goodell will be addressing the media in New York at the Intercontinental Hotel and telling us all about his little meeting this morning with Matt the Weasel Walsh. So when that happens, we will go live right to it so you can keep on listening to us and you won't miss a word of the commissioner unless Dan Twogender is operating the board, in which it'll go silent. Now, Gary's here. Don't worry about it.
What do they say? It's gallows humor, Fred? Is that what this is called?
I'm in a kind of a weird mood.
Yeah, obviously.
You know, I'm eager to hear what transpires. A little bit concerned that it lasted over 3 hours. However, you know, I'm pretty sure that nothing new is going to come out of this, but we'll see. You know, I don't know. I don't think, you know, anyone except those people that were in that room at this point knows what was said, and we're about to find out.
What do you know?
What do I know?
That you can offer us.
I know anything that you know, I know.
No, but I mean, from an organizational perspective right now, is there, were the Patriots represented at that meeting?
Yes.
By?
I was told that there's somebody there, not somebody that works in this building, but someone like hired by us, like an outside lawyer.
An attorney, okay.
Yeah, that's there.
Now, what's going on in this building right now? Like, is Stacey James preparing a response?
I mean,
what's going on?
Yeah, Stacey James is nowhere to be found. He's probably somewhere. You know, I exchanged a couple emails with Jonathan Kraft today, not about this, but, you know, he seemed loose and not concerned. Usually, if there's something really, really important, you just don't get a response.
Now, will they get an official? Is it possible the commissioner called Mr. Kraft in this window we've had now for an hour since the meeting and said, here's what happened?
There was something on EEI that said that Kraft was called to New York. So his car is not here. So Mr. Kraft is not in the building. He could be in New York.
Uh-oh.
That can't be good.
Yeah, that's. I wouldn't take that as a good sign if he was called to New York.
No, I'd want to be there if
New York.
Yeah, I would want to be there, too.
Right.
And if he was there, I wouldn't think anything of it. Yeah.
But if he was
called
at
him this morning
and said, get here by 11?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe it was yesterday. I don't know when that happened.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. All right. I just know he's not here right now.
No, I would certainly expect Mr. Kraft to be in, not only there, but in attendance.
I want to be in
the
room.
Yeah, I would demand to be.
Although, if I'm the Patriots, and I'm the Patriots attorney, and I'm advising them, I would tell them, you do not ask questions.
No, but I want to be there when Matt Walsh is making whatever accusation he's making against your team. That's basically the Kraft family that he's speaking against, right?
That's
it's
right.
The brand and all that.
Absolutely.
I would want to be a part of that.
Absolutely. So,
now, what do you think Belichick is doing today?
I know for a fact that right at 10 o'clock he was filming something for the hall at Patriot Place. We have an interactive exhibit where he's going to help people learn about plays and different combinations, offense versus defense.
Oh,
and he's going to comment on it. So they're filming that.
So everyone's going about their business.
Exactly. It's like 9/11.
Sure.
Just go fly planes. Go take a trip.
You really are in a weird mood today. It's like 9/11. Go fly planes. Yeah. That's exactly what I would think.
What the hell is he talking about?
You know
about?
How George Bush, the day after 9/11, said, go about your business. Don't, you know, if you do, then the terrorists have defeated us if we stop doing our business. Well, we can't let Matt Walsh and all the people who hate the Patriots, you know, get in the way of our business.
Gary, if he brings up the Holocaust, cut his mic.
We got to go on. We got to continue.
I'm a little worried.
We got to press on.
Matt Walsh, he's just like Hitler.
Right.
2008 is going to be an amazing year for the New England Patriots. Amazing year.
Okay.
So.
You basing that on anything?
I just think
we're. Do you have any inside dope?
We're going to come out.
Well, he did see the ESPN power rankings that list the Patriots one. So with that, you know, expert panel.
I'm actually surprised that we didn't lead with that. I think that's the key
ridiculous.
Part of this show is the ESPN power rankings are out. And
they've
the
let everyone
know.
Show
they'll,
with
they'll
it.
Let you know.
Unbelievable.
Asinine.
All right.
One thing we did bring up coming down that fans, I'm sure, have picked up on if they're watching the coverage of this is the very different tone that you get from watching ESPN versus the NFL Network.
ESPN is comparing it to 9/11.
Yes,
like,
basically.
It's that big of a tragedy.
Chris Carter just ranting and raving about how valuable it is, how he could use it from series to series.
I think Chris Carter found a way to say that he got robbed of the Super Bowl by it.
And then you go to Rich Eisen, who doesn't understand how any of this crap could be used for
look
anything.
At the tracking. I mean, you can't even
I mean,
see
John
it.
It's got to be somewhere in the middle, right?
John Clayton is saying, you know, how they could use it. They burn it to DVD and they use it during the game, but it clearly shows on the tapes that these had to be brought back and then pieced together. You know, you piece the clock and all that stuff and, you know.
Right. Fred, my question is, they showed one, excuse me, one of the first things they showed was the Miami signals, but it was shot from a high-angle end zone cam where the film crews are supposed to be. So why are they showing that? Because I thought the issue was taping from the sideline.
No, the issue is, you know, since the beginning, I think when they first started doing this practice – of filming the sidelines, you know, the whole sideline camera crew, team-run sideline camera crews wasn't prevalent. Teams weren't doing video for their coaches' shows as much and for the internet as much. So all the Patriots would do is, you know, both teams have side, you know, the upper coaches' cameras. All he would do is film the sideline, show the down and distance, and then film it like he would. So he's just moving the same camera back and forth. But then when camera crews, you know, teams had team-run camera crews on the sideline, the Patriots just took advantage of that and said, well, why should we?
Because it was a better angle to get the
better
signal.
Angle. Right. Why should we'll just have the guy at the coach's booth, you know, focus on the action. We'll have this and we'll piece it together later.
And that's how they got caught,
that's
right?
That's how they got caught.
Right. But it was never really legal to do it from anywhere, right?
No.
You're not supposed to tape the other team's defensive. The other team's coaches.
According
the
to
sideline.
The league's interpretation of the rule.
Right. We're not getting into that.
Use and what it's for, or when it's going to be used, you're not allowed to film the other coach, the other team.
And that
sideline.
Was that whole.
I thought it was like a fixed structure with three sides and a roof.
But that's where the ambiguity with the memo the memo clarified it. No videotaping was to be done outside of that, but it doesn't say you're allowed to tape the other team's coaches from anywhere. That's where, if you go back and read it, it doesn't say that that's allowed anywhere, but you're not allowed to tape at all from outside that structure. And then it says the whole thing for use in the game, but it doesn't say for use in the game.
Right.
It says there's no taping in the game, but that was where the loophole that Belichick jumped
dove
on.
Dove through.
Yeah.
And that's why
that's why
Ray Anderson and the league felt they needed to clarify it in 2006.
It was poorly written.
Yeah, which is a memo that, you know, for whatever reason, the Patriots chose to ignore. You know, and, you know, we got an email from a guy, one of our emailers sent us, there's this guy.
I like how the NFL Network puts up scouting department
clerical
position.
Interesting.
There's somebody that's been posting.
That's hilarious.
Is that what my yearbook says from back then?
The differences of the two networks are really quite a contrast.
Well, clearly NFL Network is a house organ. It's embarrassing.
The NFL Network is going to put us out of business, and ESPN is like
they're going to put
rivaling to put the Herald
business.
Out of business.
Well, you know, there's somebody that's been posting on the ESPN bulletin board by the name of Any Insider.
I wanted to get your opinion on that. And that's just a hoax, right?
Well, I don't know. The guy's pretty convincing.
But I read his stuff, Fred.
Yeah.
And I could do the same thing for the Cowboys.
I think you could.
I could do it for this place. Yeah.
No, I wouldn't brag about that.
Yeah. What Tom's saying is
somebody who knows the coaches,
right,
the way the organization is run very closely, I think I could do the exact. Like, I could tell you that Bennett, the tight end, has great hands and they used them poorly at Texas A&M and they love him. I just think the stuff that's being said is stuff that you could get if you listen to Patriots stuff and just follow the team.
I totally agree with Tom.
And Fred, don't you think if it was someone from the inside that Belichick would find out who? I mean, they obviously know that this is being, I mean, the PR department views those boards and everything. If there was information coming from here, don't you think that would be stopped immediately?
Yeah, but they don't know who's doing it.
Well, see, now, back in the days where I actually used to care about those people, I would actually be working with them to try to figure that out. But, you know, let them figure it out on their own now. Maybe you can do that.
So you're telling me if I, from my computer, start posting things on a message board about inside information here, you can't find out who's me?
No. If the person's smart, they don't do it from their computer. They do it from their own personal laptop at Panera,
right?
You know, where there's a hotspot. You know, because you can track the building from which it came from, and then it's a matter of, okay, now you got to work with that internal IT department to see, you know, which computer it came from within that building.
And they're probably not going to tell you, right? I mean, wouldn't that be some sort of conflict of interest and privacy?
No, yes, it would be.
For something unless it's legal. It's not a crime.
There was a case where, I think years ago, as a matter of fact, I know this for a fact, there was someone on the Patriots bulletin board who was, you know, violently threatening things.
Right,
and we had the police got involved, and it was you know, a young guy that worked in an office, and they tracked it right to his cubicle.
But that's different. That's a violent threat.
Right.
This is just the guy spouting off. I mean, I would think they would lose credibility. Any place that had internet access that gave away that information for something as frivolous as this guy says,
right,
you know, Jonathan Stupar looks good at camp and the Patriots just like him.
So you think tell me that the guys are fraud.
You think it could be an insider, Fred?
I mean,
Paul.
I don't think there's any chance that it's an insider. I agree with Tom. I don't think someone that was actually in the coach's inner circle would be on a message board writing we feel this and we feel. I don't think that would happen. No way.
I mean, it could be somebody that.
And the other thing, if you were given inside information, right, every single thing is positive. Now, they never said, you know, well, Matthew Slater isn't as fast as we first. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you haven't read the stuff about the Spygate.
He only had nine. Yeah, I have.
No, I'm talking to Tom.
Yeah, there was a huge thing that he wrote about Spygate. Yeah. He only had nine posts.
No, but he had a new one recently.
There's like eight things about Spygate.
And he also had one that kind of condemns Ernie Adams a little bit.
Oh, I didn't read that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, whoever it is.
That's proof that it's not an insider then.
Well, either that or they want to get rid of Ernie Adams, you know? I'm sure there's people down there that, you know, don't.
Well, I mean, hey, you never know, but it could.
Was it in the long one with like nine?
A very knowledgeable fan could probably do this.
The one with Ernie Adams came out like a month and a half ago.
Yeah, I read this one.
Yeah. So.
But he only had nine posts.
Yeah. That's another thing.
But here, this something like this. That defense will never work against us again. You mean the defense where Justin Tuck picks up Logan Mankins and throws him away? You know what I mean?
Right.
That was basically, like Andy keeps saying, they got whooped one-on-one all across the field. So saying that defense won't work against us.
That's a good argument to say that this person doesn't know what they're talking about, because anyone who knows football and who works for the Patriots knows that that was a physical. That was not a.
It was a lot less scheme than it was.
Right.
Yeah. It was physical.
Exactly, and you don't know if you know Matt Light and Dan Copen and Logan Mankins are going to get beat again that way. You can't judge that.
Tomasi was always one of the most pleasant reporters around the team.
Yeah,
they hated John Tomasi.
They hated him
long
the day
before
he in here.
The
okay.
Matt Walsh story now, before the Super
that's
Bowl.
That's another indication that it's not a scout, because the scouts don't come in contact with John Tomasi. So
I was thinking that was another indication this person doesn't know what they're talking about.
Well, you know, I mean, John Tomasi never really.
Bill hated him the entire
Bill
year.
Him. Bill but, hates him.
I know, but he might.
He
hate
told
him.
The players not to talk to him.
Well, now.
No, before.
Before
this,
this
happened, he went to the locker room once, and a player said to him, "Sorry, John, we got the word, we can't talk to you."
This email makes it sound like they started hating him as of February 2nd or whatever that date was. And this he was. what's the phrase? He's persona non grata long before that. So that right there, this is a fraud.
Okay. So any insider is not someone who's on the inside.
I just think it would be hard to, because so few people are on the inside with the Patriots. You know, like, even stuff that you get, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know the interactions of the football operations.
I sure don't. Yep.
And I just think it's so hard to get those little nuggets and then to put them out on the internet.
And if you're in the inner circle, based around how the inner circle works here, why would you risk it?
And
you could be the offensive coordinator in 2 years.
That was right. Tom's point. That's the one I agree with the most.
And the thing, too, like, okay, you can't trace a computer. Listen, Bill's pretty smart.
Right.
If this stuff is getting out, he's going to know who's doing it. And your future here is going to be done. Because he's not going to stand for this if it's an insider. I
can tell
you
that right now.
Why would
you want to do... Even if you, let's just say for argument's sake, there's no way they could ever catch you. Why would you want to risk it?
Right. I don't, that's the one
there's
thing.
There's no upside
get.
For it. Right.
No upside whatsoever. Just so you can be on a message board with, you know, and write we right. like that. You know, we were wrong and made a mistake. We as an organization failed and it will never happen again. That's garbage. There's no way that came from the inside.
No, I think you're right.
And
as we talk about it,
people,
I think
they're
you're right.
too smart to do stuff
I think this
like that.
Is just some fan living out some little dream.
I mean, you know how
exactly.
Bill is, yeah. you know how Bill is, Fred. Could you imagine if he went on there and saw this and this was stuff that came from him? I mean, someone's head's going to roll.
Wouldn't right. it be great if it was a player?
And if you were
maybe that's true.
And if you were
He'd
on
be
the
a player. Player to me would be the most plausible.
I was going to say I'd be more willing to accept that it was a player than it was someone in football ops.
Matt Cassel.
Bubba Ventrone.
Yeah, they drafted a quarterback. Castle's on his way out. He's saying, who cares?
All right, Web
friends
Radio.
With Brady.
Web huh? Radio at Patriots.com is the email address.
Well, it used
just
to be
a reminder,
when they were in the same
as soon as Commissioner Goodell comes to the microphone, we will go right to the Intercontinental Hotel in New York, and we will cover that press conference live in its entirety. Maybe we'll go longer with the show. I don't know. And who knows when Goodell's going to come on? It might come on after 2 o'clock. I don't know what they're doing over there. But right now on the phone is John from L.A. John, how you doing?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I wanted to call in as somebody who I hope you guys think of as a fairly balanced, stable caller to say that I think I speak for a lot of Patriots fans when I say I won't ever get over that Super Bowl. Like, unless they go 19-0 this year, I mean, which they're not going to do. I'll never get over that. I can't.
No, I know what you're saying.
For Sports Illustrated comes on. I have to turn it the way I turn the Aaron Boone thing and the way I turn the bus.
But you're not laying in bed crying over it. That's, I mean.
No.
You know, I still think of that, you know, the Cowboys when they had a chance for that three-peat, and I think, damn,
right.
if they had just gotten
yeah.
that one game.
You'll get over it. If they win this year, you'll get over it. I remember,
but I still think you're going to regret it because then you could have been 38-0
no.
and had two Super Bowls.
There'll always be a part of you that looks at it as a lost opportunity, no doubt. But, like, you just mentioned, John, the Aaron Boone thing, and believe me, I'm a big Red Sox fan, too. That one killed me, but the fact that they won it the next year allowed you to get over it. And you're right, Andy. I look at it as they should have won back-to-back.
Right.
They should have. But I don't, you know, like
Take
Tom
some
says,
of the thing away.
Yeah, it doesn't keep me up at night. Just like if the Patriots go out and win the Super Bowl this year, which, let's face it, they're going to be the best team on paper.
They are number one in the power rankings.
They are number one in the all-important ESPN power rankings.
Yeah, John.
In May.
That's put together by Clayton, and he's the biggest idiot on there.
No, I know.
Well,
we're making
it's all their idiots.
We're making fun of it.
Yes,
but
we're
John,
mocking it.
The Cowboys won the Super Bowl the year after, and it, you know, it took that sting away. But now, years later, I just think, God,
sure.
they were so close for that three-peat. And that's what you'll do. You'll think, man, we were so close to that perfect season.
It's you know, it's 75, it's 86 for the Red Sox. You're never going to forget that.
Right.
You know?
But if they win another Super Bowl, it'll just take the sting away.
It'll take it away a little bit, but unless they go perfect, it's going to be that, like Paul saying, that missed opportunity.
So you're always going to look at it like that, but if they win the Super Bowl, I think you're going to be okay.
So, John, you're telling us...
whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
But, John, you're telling
strength.
You're telling us if they go 12-4 and win the Super Bowl, you won't be happy.
No, I'll be very happy. I'm just saying it wouldn't completely make up for missing out on the history
right.
of the season.
Well,
that's
well, as Bill Belichick would say, it's two separate events. You know, they're not connected whatsoever.
Right.
So
I want to point out
that
Andy, since the St. Paul's, you know, Eric isn't there, he would have chimed in with, "Oh, Andy's quoting Nietzsche."
I was.
And that's what you would have said. Perfect.
Yep. All right. Thanks, John.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. That's John from L.A. He's up early.
Well, I'd like to all the Patriots apologists, by the way, one of the rants they go on, and that would be the big show, is about how they have, you know, every team uses three signal callers, dummy signal callers. And some of the teams had, well, one team had three, but the others had one single guy making some of the simplest signals I've ever seen in my life, simpler than some of the ones that the teams I've been on used.
On defense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely ridiculous how simple they were. And so to say that you couldn't use it, the guy had like three symbols. It was like his forearm, his belly, and two eye. You know, what's that dance thing where you pull your fingers across your face?
The Batman dance?
Well, Pulp Fiction.
Know. Yeah, Pulp Fiction. Pulp Fiction had that. I'm guessing very smart minds, when putting that together with the play that follows, could come up with something, come up with a trend.
I think that's why the Patriots did this, because you never know if
it was valid. Right.
You just never know.
So maybe one team is really good, changes their signals every week, has seven guys doing it.
Let's make
but
it
the
a
idiots
practice,
that don't.
Let's do it.
And there's maybe a lot of some, idiots.
Right. Well, I mean, the Browns, what was that, Butch Davis?
Yeah.
They weren't exactly dominating the league and, you know, revolutionizing coaching. He was probably the guy who had, you know, three signals with one guy.
Right, so
My guess is it was a base defense, a coverage, and a blitz.
Let's get it all down. We'll review
That's
it.
Why he's missed the
football. Some we might be able to use, some we won't.
Right.
But let's just get it all.
And, you know, Bill probably, when he was a defensive coordinator, he probably did all those things that you're saying. And then he said, when he became a head coach, you know what? A lot of these idiots don't do that.
Right.
We could probably gain an advantage from it.
Right.
What the hell is this?
And the rules say that we can, because they're poorly written.
And did you read the sport article, Fred, that, you know, Patriots fans like to promote as the reason why it was okay the Patriots cheated, because they cheated
sport.
In 67?
They didn't cheat.
Did you read it?
No.
Because there's a word for this.
Who
this,
cheated in 67?
Everybody. It's written at the time by an ex-player who, you know, was played on seven different teams, and every team he got to, they asked him the secrets, and Al Davis is quoted, all these things. But there's a word in there. It's scotophobia or something. It's the obsession with spying. There, no doubt in my mind, Bill Belichick has that phobia, because he thinks everybody is spying on him, and he's spying on everybody.
Andy, don't ever forget, even paranoid people can have enemies.
Right. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you.
And fly planes.
Well, that's my father's theory is that Belichick is weary that everyone's doing to him what he's doing to everybody. And Parcells is the same way. They want to win so badly, they're doing all these things, and they think everyone else is doing it. That's why they're so guarded.
So I agree with Patriots fans that this has been happening forever and it's cyclical. That doesn't mean it's okay. Murder's been happening forever, and they still try to catch murderers.
Look, I think that's why, you know, you can criticize Goodell, and I think he slipped up, in this process, but I think what he's done with these, you know, more strict guidelines is, okay, I know all this crap has been going on. Going forward,
not on my
watch.
Right.
Let's try to, you know, address this thing.
Because that story talks about Halas was one of the prominent cheaters, spiers, whatever.
Paul Brown
and
was.
And then George Allen tried to leave him to go coach the Rams, I think. And he sued. He wasn't going to let him leave because he was his best spy. And he not only didn't want to lose his best spy, but then he knew that another team would have the best spy spying on him.
I was going to say, I can almost guarantee you from what I know of him, George Allen was cheating.
Right. So that's this has been Mangini, Belichick.
Well,
it's been going on forever.
The Cleve Rush story. Did I ever tell you that one?
Yeah.
The guys, they're at the hotel the night before on the road, and they're sitting around in one of those banquet rooms, and there's like a flower pot in the middle, flower vase, and the guys are sitting around talking about the game plan for the next morning, and Cleve Rush walks in and goes, "Are you guys crazy? You can't talk about that here. Paul Brown probably has this thing bugged."
Yeah, a lot of places. Kansas City with Lamar Hunt was notorious for
and
bugging
what do you
visiting
think,
locker rooms.
What do you think Tom Landry was doing?
Right.
All that tech, we've all seen the movie North Dallas 40, how they were the team with all this technology. What do you think they were doing with that technology?
Cheating?
Cheating. I guarantee you Tom Landry was cheating. You didn't see the movie, did you, Andy?
No.
God damn you.
William thinks that any insider is Bill Simmons.
Well, he's not an insider.
Well, but I know, but we've determined that whoever it is probably isn't.
It is really long, these posts that he writes, and not all that entertaining.
It's someone who's a good writer.
Yeah.
If they had all had some movie references in there, I would say absolutely, because it's so long-winded that you can't really even get through it.
And if it talked about what he ate during the NBA draft, it would be a dead giveaway.
Had a Dorito called Dad. 7:55. Patriots, we didn't cheat. 7:56.
When was the last time you hugged him, Paul?
Bill? 2001.
Belichick?
No. That would be much further along than
Have
that.
You ever hugged Bill Belichick?
No.
Have you ever touched him?
Shook his hand. Many times.
Many times.
Can't recall the last time, however.
I tried to shake his hand once, but he said he had a cold and he wouldn't shake my hand.
You know, now that I'm reading this thing, it gives you all the Spygate stuff, and then it ends with a Tomasi support. I think it's Tomasi.
And in closing, John Tomasi was one of the nicest men on the beat.
He was set up.
I'll tell you who would think that John Tomasi was a very nice man on the beat is Dean Pease. Because John did that story on him at home and nice piece on his family and stuff. But
so
I don't.
You're
think,
saying Dean Pease is any insider?
I think I'm already on record saying I don't think there's any chance in the
so
world.
So far, you've
this
implicated someone, yourself by saying I could write that.
I could absolutely write this. Is
and
what
Dean
Pease? My
Dean
point is,
Pease is angry that they brought in Dom Capers. He's now motivated.
My point with agreeing with Tom is that if I was on the inside, I would certainly know a lot more than just the basic general stuff that anybody could write.
Well, you don't want to make it too obvious.
Well, but then maybe you should put the we out of it. There.
And then maybe you shouldn't use any insider at right. your speed
yeah.
name.
Yeah, the first word of the whole missive here shouldn't be we, if you're looking to be a little bit more discreet.
Well, we have a lot of emails coming in with the Spygate stuff. Maybe we should get to those.
We should also announce.
We have a T-shirt.
We have a T-shirt slogan. We appreciate all our fans' help and writing in, and we're now closing the door on those.
Okay. Are we going to tell them what it is? Or?
No.
Okay.
When they're done, we'll tell them.
I think someone actually did write in that T-shirt. We
so
didn't come up
it?
With it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the commissioner. So let's go to New York right now, Gary.
Commissioner
Gary?
Of the National Football League in New York.
Okay. Good afternoon. I think you all are aware of the fact we met for approximately 3 hours and 15 minutes this morning with Matt Walsh and his counsel, Michael Levy. Joining me in the meeting were Jeff Pasch, Milt Aldrich, our director of security, Greg Levy, and the Patriots had an attorney there, Dan Goldberg. I think you all have seen the tapes. If you want to see them again, we'll do it right now. Anybody want to see them again? I guess not. We started the meeting. I thank Matt for coming. I told him how important it was to the league to understand all of the details and all the facts and whether he could share anything with us. I think he was responsive, and I think he was well prepared. There have been really basically two developments since last fall when this issue came to the public light after we discovered the violation the first game of the regular season. And the first was that Matt Walsh was reported to somebody who potentially had new information that we were not aware of. And as you all know, I said from the get-go, if there was new information, I reserved the right to go ahead and revisit the situation. The second was that the Patriots had taped the Saturday walkthrough just prior to Super Bowl 36 against the Rams. Today, we were able to confirm that the details, all of the details of his activities while he was a Patriot employee, Matt Walsh. As you know, he was in the video department, he was in the scouting department for a short time, and was an intern in the public relations department. The fundamental information that Matt provided was consistent with what we disciplined the Patriots for last fall, in that essentially they were taping coaches' signals against NFL policy. We were also able to verify that there was no Rams walkthrough tape. No one asked him to tape the walkthrough. He's not aware of anybody else who may have taped the walkthrough. He had not seen such a tape. He does not know of anybody who says there is a tape. He was in the building at the time of the walkthrough along with other Patriots video personnel. They were doing their job prior to the game. He, in fact, was even on the sidelines in his Patriots gear while the Rams were practicing. So it was clear that there was not an overt attack or addressing access into the Rams walkthrough. In addition to those, he confirmed that he was aware of no other violations of league policy by the Patriots or anybody associated with the Patriots. There was no bugging of locker rooms. There was no manipulation of communication system. There was no crowd noise violations of anywhere that he was aware of. No miking of players to pick up opposing signals or audibles. So we were able to confirm that the Patriots had followed NFL policy as far as he knew, other than the taping of coaches' signals. Two new pieces of information that we did pick up in the 3 hours that were of note. One is that they had a tape of, he indicated that there was a tape at one point in time of a player inappropriately practicing. He was a player that was on injured reserve. He practiced back in, I believe, 2001. He identified the player. We're verifying that. So that is something that we will we have been looking into. I would tell you up front, though, that the way we normally handle those matters, those are a matter of a team fine if they are verified, and then they are handled in that basis. I would expect that if we were to verify it, that I would consider that the fine that I implemented against the Patriots of close to $750,000 between the Patriots and Bill Belichick, I would not take any further action on that, but we will be verifying that. And the second was a non-competitive issue, which was the scalping potentially of Super Bowl tickets by players. He said that he was the one that sold the tickets. He said it was limited to 4 or 5 a season over 2 seasons. So I think somewhere between 8 and 12, I think, was the number he finally used. We will be looking into that, of course, also. But that was a non-competitive violation, but it's something of importance to us. So I think that's it as far as comments, but I know you have questions, so I'll be happy to take them. Yes?
So is Spygate closed as far as you're concerned?
Well, I think as I stand before you today, and having met with Matt Walsh and over 50 other people, I don't know where else I would turn. I asked him that question, and he responded very clearly, I don't know of anybody else who may have information. And as I say, we've conducted over 50 interviews, so I don't know where else I would turn. I always, as I've said to you before, reserve the right if new information comes up. I will look at it. That's my responsibility.
Right.
Yes, Gary.
Can you say why you would have been
there? I asked him that, Gary, more than once, and he had some different answers to that with respect to he said that he potentially may want to go into coaching someday, so that he from time to time had kept tapes of various drills and practices, which he did on a regular basis. He did not know whether he had those tapes. And then on the second issue, with respect to specifically these tapes, he just said that he may someday need something for his resume to indicate the types of things he did while he was a Patriots employee, and that he would have some evidence of the work that he did. That was those were the answers he gave me.
Roger, how much did you get about the process? Who saw the tapes, how they were used, and do you remain convinced the Patriots did not use the tapes during that same game?
Yes. He, in fact, very specifically said they did not. He was very specific that the tape remained in his possession the entire game and that they were not used during the game. So he specifically addressed that issue at our request. What was the next part of your question, Mark?
How much did you get about the process, you know, who saw the tapes, how they were used, and how much advantage do you think that they ended up?
In great detail, we spoke about it. Basically, he would videotape as part of his responsibility during the game. He would then take the tape, mark it, and then hand it off to Ernie Adams. And then he had no knowledge of where it went from there. Yes? No, I wouldn't. I still believe that, again, it is, according to NFL policy, it is permissible to scout people's coaching signals. And as you know, clubs go to great lengths to protect those. They change them frequently. They change them during the game. So I think the teams are sophisticated enough to know that that's a possibility, and they go to great lengths to address that. But it's impossible to know the specifics of how much impact it has. I just believe that because teams know that there is a permissible way to do this, that they prepare for that.
You talked to Matt today about the pre-Super Bowl walk with the Rams, how he was there for that,
yes,
on the sidelines. Did he tell you at all that whether he was instructed to stay behind and look and watch for anything?
He said he was not instructed to do that. That they were there in the normal part of their responsibilities to make sure they were prepared to do their duties the next day. That people saw them. They were walking around in Patriots gear. He was not instructed to tape the walkthrough by anybody. He's not aware of being asked. There was no recollection of his at all about the walkthrough other than the fact that he was there doing his job, and he was busy doing his job. Yes?
Did you
indicated that you asked whether he had any qualms about not coming forward when this allegation was put out there right before the Super Bowl, making everybody uncomfortable. And he's the only one who could have said, hey, there is no such thing.
Do you think I asked him about that? I did. Very specifically, his answer to that, basically what he stated to me and those that were in the room, is that he did not want to be part of this publicly in any way. He did not want to provide any information as it relates to this issue. He was trying to be consistent, was the word he said to me, with all of the media that were approaching him. And he said he had dozens of people from the media that came over to Hawaii, in fact, to see him, that were inquiring about the story. And he wanted to be consistent and not say yes or no or respond to any specific allegation. Once he did that, he felt he had to respond on other matters.
Why not tell you?
He never called me. I never was able to reach him. I didn't know about Matt Walsh until the Friday before the Super Bowl. So.
Friday before the Super Bowl, he was quoted saying that he had information that people would have to answer to. What was he specifically talking about there?
Well, we did talk a little bit about that, Judy. I think the best way for me to answer that would be he did not feel it was well known publicly that the taping had gone back to 2000. And that he felt that there was misinformation or not enough knowledge of that, and that's what he referenced.
Peter, will there be any further sanctioning of the Patriots?
I don't anticipate it, Peter. As I said, I think the fundamental information that was provided today is consistent with what we knew last September, and that the discipline that I took was unprecedented at that time, and I feel it was appropriate. Yes.
Assuming Matt will give the same story to Senator Spector today that he gave you, do you feel that Senator Spector may change his mind regarding your investigation?
That's up for Senator Spector to respond to, not me. Gary.
Roger, at what point did Bill Belichick tell you that this taping actually went back as far as, you know, 2000? Did you know that when you handed out the penalty?
I did, Gary, from this standpoint, and I think we said this up front, Bill Belichick's interpretation of the rule was that this was permissible as long as he did not use it in the same game. So my interpretation, he's always had that interpretation of the rule, and that he had done this while he was a head coach of the Patriots. That was very clear to me.
Because at the time that you handed out the penalties, I don't think it was made clear, you know, perhaps that this had extended back any further than a couple of years.
Well, Gary, the only point I'd say to that one, and obviously there can be more information, but it was clear that it was not just an isolated incident with the Patriots because we had other tapes from the Patriots. So we knew that it happened in prior seasons. We knew it happened. There were multiple tapes, which all of you knew, because we discarded those tapes the next week. So.
But you handed out the penalty.
Because I knew what they had. They had told us in advance. Part of my decision was the first step, we should just reverse a little bit here. We were the ones who discovered this violation. We were notified that somebody was on the sidelines. It appeared to be taping coaches' signals. Our staff apprehended the camera and the tapes and brought them back to the office. I then reviewed them on Monday morning with our staff. So we're the ones who discovered it, and we disclosed it later in the week and disciplined for it in an unprecedented fashion. So we did that quite quickly. At that point in time, they had admitted to the violation. Bill had told me at that point in time, his interpretation was that it was permissible to do as long as he didn't use it in the same game. So I was comfortable that I understood that this had been a practice that he had engaged in, and that I was disciplined. And that's why we used the language in the original release for the totality of the acts. That was the issue.
Roger,
yes.
Have you been in contact with the Patriots since your meeting with Matt Walsh this morning? And if so, what was their reaction?
I have not. As I said, his attorney, Dan Goldberg, or the Patriots' attorney, Dan Goldberg, was in the meeting.
Talk with Robert Kraft. Do you plan on it today? Or?
I may. I don't know. I don't have any plans. Yes.
Are these tapes now the property of the NFL? And if so, will you destroy them as well? Or do you know what to do with
You've
them?
Seen them all. So I there.
Is he any longer in possession of these tapes?
I believe his attorney is. I believe the attorneys have worked out the actual possession of the tapes.
What's the
I asked that question, Sal. Yes, I think that it was very clearly known, at least by Matt. He believed, and he stated to us, that it was very clear that he had to be careful that nobody discovered what he was doing. That he was very cautious about when he did it, who was watching. And there were certain places where he didn't get access during this during the year. A lot of teams said, we're not going to allow another camera up here on the third level or the end zone level. So I think they were well aware of the fact, at least according to Matt, he believes that they were well aware of the fact that this was something that shouldn't be done.
So this goes back to raising your question about what the Belichick said to you, that he didn't know that he was a violation.
Sal, I think I'm pretty well on the record here. I didn't accept Bill Belichick's explanation for what happened. So, and I still don't to this day.
Ernie Adams in the video department of the Patriots. If he was giving it to Ernie Adams, then wouldn't it have some value, some more than minimal value to the Patriots at that point?
I don't know if any of us can say what the true value of it really is. I think the reality is somebody asked me at the Super Bowl, and I still believe because of the extensive steps that teams take to prevent people from taking their signals, I think teams are well prepared for that, and so they don't allow that to be have a big impact on the outcome of a game. They recognize that it's permissible in our rules to do so. Obviously, teams are always trying to find a competitive edge. That's why we have these competitive rules, and that's why it's my job to enforce the competitive nature of all of those rules. That's what I did here.
Did you personally view the six tapes that were destroyed, and how much more elaborate or less elaborate content on those compared to these tapes?
I did not personally review all six of those tapes. Four or five of our staff went up in September and looked at them, and they were extremely consistent with what you saw today. Pardon me? I saw the one tape, the Jets tape.
Roger, was there any discussion with Matt Walsh about the fact that other teams either have been doing this or are doing this, and it was a widespread practice, and did he implicate any other teams?
He did not. And my recollection of the meeting this morning, Pete, we did ask him the question. He stated that he was not aware of anybody else doing it. He said at one point in time he became so suspicious that one other team might have been doing a similar thing. But he had no verification of that at all. So,
Roger, you mentioned that Matt was told he had to be careful about what he was doing. Who was telling him to be careful? How did this line of ordering go?
It appears his supervisor, Jimmy D. I mean, his communication, his management was dictated by essentially Jimmy D, who was the head of the department. So Jimmy D gave him most of his instructions. Once in a while, I guess Ernie Adams would give him some instructions, but it was very infrequent, he said.
Did Matt say there were any other games that were taped other than the ones you turned in?
Yes, he did.
The Rams regular season game 2001, the game that was specified as being...
It was not, I don't believe, but let me ask. No, it was not.
Parker,
just so we can be clear here, what he essentially said as far as... tapes or games that would be taped, they were opponents that they expected to play again later in the season. So primarily division opponents, I think.
Right, yes. What was Matt doing during the Rams walkthrough while he was out there?
They were setting up their operation. They have printers, they have cables that they have to set up. And in fact, as part of the investigation, it was not Matt was not aware of it, but we were told and very clearly by our operations people and also the Patriots verified it that there were actually changes the day before the game, so they had to reestablish some of those communication systems.
Do you find it unusual that a member of the opposing team would be out there during a walkthrough?
No, the only thing I probably found a little unusual is that he was standing on the field in his Patriots gear. So
Rams let that happen?
Obviously so, yes.
Was there any indication, Roger, that the Rams were on the field during the Patriots walkthrough? Any Ram people?
I don't know that, Peter. I did not ask that question. I know that the Patriots went first in their walkthrough, though.
One other thing, just to clarify, did Matt Walsh have any contact with Bill Belichick that he told you about during the time?
He He actually described it at one point as the man behind the curtain, someone that they just didn't see very often, and he didn't have any direct relationship with or contact with. Yes.
Are there any questions that Mr. Walsh's attorney would not allow me to answer that you asked?
Yes, I think you all got the agreement. So there were questions and topics in advance that they did not want to address, and we respected that. I did not. That was off the. That was not permitted by the agreement.
Roger, was this
surprised by the offense?
Well, I assumed that it may have happened. They identified that it, Matt identified three times that it could have happened. He was certain of one game. He was more certain of a second game and maybe a little uncertain about the third game. But I'll assume that it was three games. But I think that was in the context of the rule is taping offensive or defensive signals, and that's what I believe I disciplined for.
I was going to ask two things.
And one other thing I should point out about the it was quite clear, and I think you saw the tape with Miami, did you not? So I don't believe those were the plays. Those were personnel groupings. So they indicate whether it's a, you know, two tight end set, four wide receivers. That's the type of thing that you saw. Yes. And he confirmed that, by the way.
You said earlier that Walsh didn't want to come forward and say he didn't have a Rams walkthrough tape because he didn't want to go to the media or whatnot.
That's what he said.
Right. But did you ask him or would you have anticipated that he might have should have diffused this, at least through his attorney, to let you know that tape didn't exist? And the other thing I was going to ask you was it worth the 3.5 months that you waited to speak to him based on what you heard today?
Well, let me address the first. I don't think he had an attorney, Gary, until the Super Bowl, sometime around the Super Bowl. When we first started to try to reach him immediately around the Super Bowl, when his name first arose, I think it was at that point in time we were told that he's getting an attorney and we would have to contact him through the attorney. So I'm not sure the attorney was able to give him any advice in advance of that. After the Super Bowl, I didn't get into specifics on that. The attorney was there. He seemed to corroborate that he wanted to be consistent with the media. He said the media was extremely aggressive about trying to reach him, almost to the point where it was difficult for him to do his job. On the second part, what was your second part?
I'm not even talking about the media. You know, forget about that part, but just getting the word to you that tape didn't exist.
Yeah, they had no interest in doing that. Obviously.
Whether it was worth the 3.5 months to talk to him.
I think it is, because I think this is important. You're dealing with the integrity of the NFL. You're dealing with the public trust in our game for our fans. There's obviously been a widespread media speculation. There have been reports of violations going from miking to tapings of walkthroughs. And I think the general interest in the public was we want to know the facts. And I wanted to know the facts, so that's why we're here today to give them to you. Yes.
In integrity, do you believe everything Matt Walsh told you? Is there anything that you doubted in his answers?
I think in the fundamentals of the things that I was concerned of and the competitive issues and what transpired is, as I said, we did 50-plus interviews, so we had quite a bit of information. We obviously didn't share that with him, but we have to put that up against the information that we have. But I think on the fundamentals, it was consistent with what we were told.
Questioning him.
We didn't watch any tape during the meeting. We had watched all of those in advance.
You mentioned that it was the league that found the original tapes. Did you have a sense there's a misperception out there that the Jets caught the Patriots versus the league caught the Patriots?
It was reported in the paper this morning.
Okay. So you're trying to correct that it wasn't the Jets that caught the Patriots, it was you guys who caught them.
The Jets alerted the NFL that there may be somebody over there who's inappropriately taping signals of coaches. And our personnel went over, apprehended the individual, apprehended the equipment and the tape, and took the camera and the tape into our office.
Was it unusual that you were there to be alerted, or were you there because...
I wasn't there. I was in Dallas at
the
night.
NFL crews, I mean.
We always have somebody at a game this was a, I credit our staff for being aggressive. There was resistance, to say the least, and they persevered and they got the information, and we have it. And I think that's why we have, I think, the important step that we took to make sure that the integrity of the game is respected by all our clubs. And it's one of the reasons why I responded so quickly. I wanted all 32 teams to know, play by the rules.
But the Jets still did draw your attention to it. They were the ones that blew the whistle.
Yes. Yes.
Roger, there are people who believe that Bill Belichick should have been suspended for what he did. Looking back on the entire experience now, dating back to September, having met with Matt Walsh, are you comfortable with the punishment handed out to the Patriots?
Absolutely. I think it was appropriate. I think it was unprecedented, which it should be. I think it sent a loud and clear message, not only to the Patriots, but to every club. Play by the rules.
Roger, how widespread a practice do you think videotaping coaching signals has been in the NFL over the last few years?
I don't think it's widespread. I think it's very limited, Peter. I said that before. I think that the benefit to it, you've heard coaches, former coaches, that have said, I tried that, I just didn't see any benefit. So I think it's very limited in its practice and its effect. No, Mark, there's a very significant difference. We're not in the middle of a season. We were in the second week of a season where those tapes potentially could have had competitive consequences. So that is not something we do. We don't even talk to our competition committee about various matters during the season. Those are matters that we deal with postseason, which is why I gave them a full update in February, which is our first opportunity to get together with them. Yes?
Based on all your investigating before today's meeting, how confident were you that he was not going to tell you anything that was going to lead to more sanctions for the Patriots?
I'm not sure I fully understand the question, but let me answer it this way. I was not fully confident of what he was going to tell me. We had no indication of what he was going to tell us, what he was going to bring forth. We tried to create an environment where he would come forth with as much information as possible. And I think he did feel comfortable. I think he indicated to us at the end, we asked a number of general questions. Is there anything else that we should ask? Is there anything else we should know? Are there any other violations or any other areas that we should cover? And I think he was very satisfied that we were thorough. And so was his attorney. Does that answer your question? Okay.
Did you get a sense that he came into this meeting still thinking he had something significant that would change your mind, would open the investigation?
You're going to have to ask him that question. I would be guessing. I just met him this morning.
Just to clear up, are the Patriots going to be penalized anymore? And also, is there going to be anything done to prevent this in the future?
Well, we have done a number of things to prevent this in the future. As you know, we took some very aggressive steps in this offseason. Certification by employees with respect to knowledge of any violations. We passed, as you know, the defensive communication system so that the coach and the defensive player can communicate. So we have taken a number of aggressive steps that we think will raise the profile and, most importantly, will ensure the public that the teams are playing on a fair and level playing field. Yes?
On this ticket scalping, was it during years that the Patriots were actually playing in the Super Bowl, scalping Super Bowl, and was there were active Patriot players that he scalped the tickets on their behalf? Is that, can you
yes.
elaborate on that?
That's what he said. He said, I believe it happened over a two-year period while he was there. So my assumption was the 2000-2001 season.
I'm not in the ticket meeting.
But we will be following up on that, yes. He gave us some additional details, which we won't release now, but we will pursue. Yes, he did.
Could there possibly be disciplinary action against those people?
Yes, we've disciplined for that in the past, as you know. So if we find a violation there, obviously this is just an allegation, but we'll take it seriously, believe me.
Did you say 8 to 12?
No, 8 to 12 tickets.
8 to 12 tickets?
Yes, over the 2 years. Okay.
Anything else?
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
All right, well, that's Roger Goodell, That's the totality of his press conference. And right now, let's take a second to digest this all. We'll take a break, and we'll be right back.
4-0 New England! What an opening night for the Reds in front of their home fans.
The New England Revolution are back, and 2008 season tickets are on sale now. Don't miss exciting matches against conference rivals DC United and the New York Red Bulls, Cuauhtemoc Blanco and the Chicago Fire, and the Revolution's first ever appearance in Superliga, featuring the best teams from Major League Soccer and Mexico. Revolution season tickets also guarantee your ticket for David Beckham and the Los Angeles Galaxy. This event sold out last year. Don't get shut out. Order season tickets today. Call the Revolution Ticket Office at 1-877-GET-REVS or log on to revolutionsoccer.net for tickets, game information, and everything else New England Revolution.
What a goal! Taylor Twellman!
Pride.
The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet.
Passion.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst, are you kidding me?
Revolution.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots extra points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots extra points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots extra points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, now, when Bill Belichick got caught with his camera, he did not panic. He simply said what every good cheater says when caught. I misinterpreted the rules.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. All right, so now, the analysis of the press conference. Nothing new revealed other than there might have been a guy who was supposed to be on IR practicing back in 2000, and
ticket scalping.
Matt Walsh was involved in some players scalping tickets, which I'm sure, again,
Bledsoe
might have been.
Sure, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure it was all the big McGinnis, Bledsoe, yeah. Bruschi, all the guys that made the most money.
I'm not in a ticket meeting.
On the serious side, did we know factually that Goodell did not buy for 1 second Belichick's excuse?
Absolutely.
Oh. I guess I missed that.
Because why would he come down so hard if he had any sympathy for the explanation?
Well, because if you break a rule and you say, well, I didn't know what the rule was, to me that's not an out.
No, it isn't. But I don't think...
I still would fine a guy.
I think that...
He's been cheating
I remember at the time he said that Bill Belichick was very eloquent in his explanation, but I decided to come down with this ruling.
Okay. I just never heard him say, I didn't buy it for 1 second, which is basically what he said today.
No, in those words...
His words were pretty strong.
Yeah, and those words were never said before today, but he didn't buy it, obviously. I mean, you don't find $750,000 to take away a first-round draft pick if you had any... he could have been, you know...
Oh, I would. If I knew the guy was doing it...
I think that that's two different things, Fred. I think that he could have said, well, I could see that he might have thought that, but it doesn't matter. I mean,
right.
The rule is the rule, and you broke the rule.
Yeah.
So this is what...
I just thought he was very strong. The way he said that in the press conference was very strong.
Yeah.
The other thing I thought was interesting was the way he out and out mocked the media when he started by saying, did you see the tape? Should we run those again? You want to watch those tapes again?
Well, that
that's just mocking the media who has been saying all along, why'd you destroy the tape?
Well, that was his fault from the start, though.
Exactly.
Mocking himself.
Exactly. And no one was suggesting that everybody needed to see these tapes, you know, at length and in detail and even know what it is they're doing with them, because I don't think that most of us have enough football knowledge to really comprehend how they decipher the information they're getting. We just wanted to see what it was. We didn't need to see in its totality, as to use the word you used, Fred. You know, I think that he can't help himself but be part of the story and thrust himself in there and be, you know, Kennesaw Mountain Goodell. I mean, just have to be the almighty, all-power one.
The opposite of Belichick.
Yeah.
Who we marvel at for being able to stick by that it's a league matter or whatever and never inject himself back into it. Goodell gives in on occasion and becomes a human being with, you know, pride or whatever and
can't
snaps.
Help himself.
I like it, though. I'm back on board.
Okay,
with Goodell.
So what of now John Tomasi? John Tomasi has a source that says that the Patriots
going to be interesting.
The Rams walkthrough, and yet now Matt Walsh is saying he was there on the sideline during the Rams walkthrough in Patriots garb, and as far as he knows, no tape ever existed of a walkthrough of a Rams walkthrough.
So what happens that now?
So now what happens with the Herald?
I think it's very interesting. Do you go after him and kind of paint him into the corner and force him to you know, ferret out his source, or sources.
Well,
you know, who knows?
I don't think he would ever do that. No good journalist would. But if I'm John Tomasi, I'm on the phone with that source right now saying, what the hell are you talking about?
I'll tell you right now. You know,
what happened?
And this is part of the reason why, you know.
So Walsh is available?
The journalism business is a funny business, Fred. It's not for everybody. And it's part of the business that I was never really fond of.
I can tell. Oh, no.
I'm dead serious. You know what? I'm not going to try to make a hero out of myself. If I had a story that I was protecting a source and it was between going to jail or protecting my source, I'd be giving up my source. I'll tell you right now. I wouldn't even have to think about it. And that's why maybe I'm not really cut out. You might be right.
Well,
I'm not
I think
cut out for that.
I think in sports, I think you're right. But in real news, I think the fourth estate or the fifth estate, whatever they call it.
Fourth estate.
I think we need a free and independent press. And I think we need journalists who will stand up and say, I'll go to jail before I'll reveal that source.
They me.
When it comes to real news.
You do need them.
And reporting on the government, you need that type of integrity, or else, my God, now you're in Russia.
Yeah, you know? But you're talking about apples and oranges. I agree with you. You know, when you're dealing with real news and real life and not the, you know, as people say, the toy shop of America.
Right.
But sometimes they cross. Didn't that happen in the Bonds thing? Didn't one of the reporters go to jail for a while? Because he wouldn't give up his.
Can Tomasi go to jail?
Well, if they, you'd have to have a situation.
Well,
where
laws were broken.
Right.
No.
Yeah. But you'd have to have a situation where the Herald is going to try to sue him and that. But there would be no instance of going
to
jail.
Wait, but if they sue him and
if he lies in court,
or he won't speak in court,
he can plead the fifth, and that's every right.
But
every citizen has the right to do that.
He didn't break any laws. So
he hasn't broken any laws.
I thought the fifth was the right to not incriminate yourself. He wouldn't be incriminating himself.
Well, I don't know. You don't know how you can incriminate yourself, and that's why you plead the fifth. You don't know.
So will Tomasi give up his source, you think?
No.
Will he be asked to?
I'm sure he's already been asked to.
Will he be legally asked to by the New England Patriots in a court of law?
Let's put it this way, Fred. If he actually has a source, then I think he should give it up, because I think he looks really bad. I don't think people believe him. People think he made it up.
No, I think people believe someone told him.
People think he made it up.
Who's the source?
That's the thing. Who is the source?
People have thought all along it was Matt Walsh. Now that it's, you know, at least appears that it's not Matt Walsh, people don't believe that he has a source. People think he made it up. And I think he looks bad. I think his career is in jeopardy. And I think if he doesn't give it up, his career is going to look really, really bad.
I know, but he wasn't the only person chasing Matt Walsh. Dozens of media people were chasing Matt Walsh.
But Matt Walsh claims he's not the source.
I know, but based on the same story. So either John Tomasi told all these other people.
Which is not
plausible. So there's a source out there or sources out there telling other media people. So, you know, it's not like Tomasi was the only one that had this story and was chasing it. So.
Right.
you know, no, Tomasi didn't
well,
make it.
Well, but there are different stories involved. There's the story of you can put two and two together and find a guy who used to work in the video department who's now out of football who you chase simply because this is a videotaping procedure. He worked in the video department. That's just a good reporter would be able to put that together, go down the rosters of guys that have been in that department. But now the next one is making the jump to someone taped the walkthrough.
Right.
And Matt Walsh. And you're tying pieces together there.
Well, like we said off the air before the press conference today, my hope was his explanation was that, yeah, I did tell people that I taped the walkthrough. In actuality, I was there and I realized I could have taped the walkthrough because no one, you know, booted us out of there. And in the excitement of the aftermath of the Super Bowl win, I kind of exaggerated things and told people I had more of a role in this than I really did. That's not what he said, obviously.
He just said he was there.
He said he was there, and no one taped it.
And but he claims he never told anybody that he did it, and he has no such knowledge of any such tape existing.
Right.
So what did Tomasi say exactly in that first story?
According to a video assistant.
No, according to a source.
According to a source, a video assistant taped the walkthrough of the Rams game, before the Rams game.
So, you know, somebody's lying. Somebody's
and that's
lying.
Why I think John looks bad, because I think people think he's lying.
Very least, he looks bad because his source had it was flimsy to begin with. There wasn't enough corroborating evidence to write a story like that and publish it the day before the Super Bowl. I would agree with that
even if it was Matt Walsh.
That's what has the Patriots so up in arms. To write a story that has such little corroborating evidence based on one unidentified source that's so damning, to publish it the day before the Super Bowl is just irresponsible at best. It's malicious at worst and can be libel.
So you think he saw the New York Times story and said...
Absolutely.
I don't think it can be libel. Because now you got to prove to me that he knew it was wrong.
No, you got to prove...
It was done with malice. I don't think you can do that.
Well, I mean, why then do it the day before the Super Bowl?
Because that's when the story came out.
Based on one, but other people had the story, and they chose not to run it.
So what does that mean?
That the Herald, for some reason, said, let's do it anyway.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that there was malice involved, Fred.
Well,
you could say they're guilty of poor judgment, and I would agree with you.
Okay.
I think that, you know, he claims that he had two sources.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are, and if he doesn't tell us, we have no idea how flimsy they were.
Right.
Shouldn't this fall on his editor at some point?
Absolutely.
Oh,
editor,
absolutely.
I have one source.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't the editor make the decision whether we can run with it or not?
Absolutely.
Who's this? What's his name?
I'm sure the more than one guy was involved
Hank
with
Hernowitz.
This decision.
Hank what?
Hernowitz.
See, it's not fair that his name's not out there.
You're right. Because
Hank Hernowitz.
Because that's what editors are for.
H-R-Y...
Just happened to be the guy you hold a personal grudge against.
Nope. He's the guy I consider a very, very close friend.
Oh, the guy with the hat at training camp?
No.
Oh.
That's what editors are for, is to make these decisions, when and when not to go with a story.
Right. That's why every time I get in trouble, I say, call Fred.
Yeah. No, I agree. Fred, now that here I am 1,000% agree. I think it's poor judgment.
Look, I read every page that gets published in Patriots Football Weekly after you guys read. And if there's something in there that shouldn't be in there, it's just as much my blame as it is the person who wrote it, because it slipped through my gate.
So the other day when I said, the Vince Red thing, it's in the paper, and you went, oh.
I read it, and yeah. I did. I
read it too, and I didn't remember specifically
right.
that you
I'm
had
just
written
kidding.
It there.
But you know what? It's just,
but I would have written.
But
it.
I knew the source you were getting it, and I knew it was
right.
the same
and
source
it's also,
the NFL was getting.
And it wouldn't have changed anything.
No,
I
didn't even raise
Hernowitz.
An eyebrow when I read that.
Hank Hernowitz deserves some of the venom that has been dispersed.
Absolutely,
on
yeah, Patriot fans go after Hank Hernowitz.
He, the assistant editor, anyone else
is
that
it
was
Hank
helping
you at Herald.com?
No, absolutely.
HRYNIEWICZ.
At Herald.com?
The Herald's been sued 3 times in the last 3 years for libel and lost each time.
They lost all three?
Yep.
What were the other two?
They got to get new lawyers.
Well, I know one of them.
The judge won.
Yeah. But that was, like, blatant.
No, I know.
And there was bad on both ends. Wasn't he sending them notes? He was threatening them, and they were threatening. That was just a war.
But if I'm the Herald, I got to think, at the very least, I got to do something to make this up. You know, whether it's, you know... I hate to see someone lose a job, but remove Tomasi from the beat and put him on another sport.
See, I think that's a very plausible end game for this, because I really think that a suit from us, I don't think makes a lot of sense.
I don't think it's worth it. I agree
it's
with you.
It's not worth it.
It's very hard.
It keeps the story in the limelight.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's very hard to win.
Because you know the Globe's going to cover it up and down.
And not only that, Fred, but don't you think in the span of a suit that other things that may not necessarily be directly tied to this Spygate thing
ask Roger Clemens.
Come out. And that's, yeah, right. Clemens
Once
is the
dirty laundry starts coming out, it just starts coming.
But what does his relationship with Mindy McCready have to do with whether or not he took steroids?
Sure.
That's what happens when you open these kinds of Pandora's boxes.
But I do think that the Herald at the least has to reach out in some way with an olive branch.
Well, I can't see Tomasi covering the team anymore.
No,
he's useless.
There's just no way it can happen.
I think that you just move him to baseball or something and put one of the baseball
so everyone
guys
wins.
On football.
So Tomasi gets what he wants.
He gets what he wants.
Maybe this
Patriots
was all his big plan in the beginning.
Well, it worked for Felger. He called Jeremy Jacobs a liar and got put on the Patriots.
And his career took off.
Right.
Right.
Put
him on the fast track.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars.
You know, Fred, that's the whole, like the whole domino effect. That is the one chip that forced me to take the job when you offered it to me,
Felger?
Way back in 99.
Yeah.
When he got promoted, ostensibly, for screwing up and almost costing the paper millions of dollars, when he got promoted for that, I figured, I'm not long for this business.
Yeah.
That's why I took the job.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, it's interesting. We had a lot of emails that came in before the press conference, and I guess a lot of those questions have been answered. So
that's going to do it.
No. But there's other things. I mean, a lot of people have written in about Kevin Jones. So maybe for a few minutes we could take a break from Spygate. I'll wait for some more emails to come in. And we could talk about your thoughts of Kevin Jones paying a visit to the Patriots.
Not really
classic
sure.
Patriots.
Not really sure how he fits in here, though.
I think it's just classic Patriots. When they love a guy in the draft, whenever he becomes available, they always bring him in.
I don't know.
Well, he's hurt too.
Yeah, he's hurt. He's not a tough inside runner. That's why I didn't like him coming out of college. He doesn't really hit between the tackles well.
Could he be Kevin Falk of the future?
Is it maybe? Maybe that's what I was thinking. They could use him because he does. He caught a lot of balls in Detroit and. He didn't really at Virginia Tech, but they don't throw to the running backs, right. And they had Vic. So catching a lot of passes in Detroit, maybe they bring him in here. They let him sit, a year, don't really use him that much with the injury, and then
sign
becomes
him,
Kevin
put
Falk.
Him on PUP.
Because the thing I don't like about Jones, he has a hard time. He's kind of a poor man's Maroney. He has a hard time getting by the line, but once he's in the open field, he's got moves and speed. And he can do some damage. So when you throw him a pass out of the backfield, you don't have to worry about him tippy toeing at the line of scrimmage and all that. So I think in that aspect, he could help the Patriots.
The only thing I wonder here is maybe if there's something up with Sammy Morris that's a little bit more serious than what we all thought.
Sign another hurt guy.
Well, just in case, kind of a backup running back
Sammy Morris. I mean, how long is Sammy Morris going to
be? Yeah, Sammy Morris isn't going to play. I mean, he's been a backup, fullback, hybrid
If there's nothing wrong with Morris, then I don't really see the need to have insurance at the backup running back spot for 2009. I don't think is really worth it.
I think they do the same thing we do. We fall in love with a guy in the draft prep. Four years later, we go... Wow, he never did anything in the league, and we do a little
research. Available.
Right, we do research on him, but their research involves actually flying the guy in and talking to him.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I think that part of it is we know from that draft, remember we heard people telling us right away they were trying to move up and get him in the second round, and then Detroit snagged him before the Patriots could.
All right. So that's Kevin
Jones.
Kevin Jones,
it's interesting, though, Fred. Adam Schefter was all over it again. Last night, as he usually is with Patriots-related news, and who knows? Maybe he's a guy that we're talking about by the end of the week as another guy in that Patriots backfield.
I am a little bit concerned, though, about Tom Brady. I have to admit. May 1st has come and gone, and he did make an appearance. Like
he came
I said,
and gone,
he would,
too.
But you're right, Andy. He's now gone. And
much like May 1st, Tom Brady has come and gone.
Supposedly, he and G are going to have this huge bash down in Costa Rica or somewhere where she's
Yo, what up, G?
I'd definitely be concerned. I mean, this is time you start preparing for a Super Bowl run.
Where's he going now?
She's got a place down somewhere.
Costa Rica, huge party.
Is it Costa Rica?
For what?
They're flying in his family,
for
her
my
family?
40th?
I don't know.
Oh.
I'm guessing no. No fat, bald, old guys allowed.
And fans can't have it both ways. You can get on us for questioning this, but He's usually here, one of the first guys here lifting. So if that doesn't matter, then why is he always here doing that? So,
or why has it mattered so much in the past?
Right.
Why has that been such a symbol of the Patriots' way, quote unquote?
Yeah, so maybe, you know.
Fred, this is a good day for you, though.
Maybe this is the big thing, and this is the big bash, and then from that on, from then on, it's
oh, so this
football.
Is the new target date?
But I'm
July 27th. If he's not here by July 27th, they'll be hell to pay.
I want him here.
Maybe he wants a new contract.
Enough is enough.
You know what this is, Andy? You know, there was like a cleansing with that Goodell press conference. And, you know, as much as we all thought there wasn't going to be anything really,
you never know.
Any revelations. You never know. In the back of your mind, you're worried about it. You know, what is this wingnut going to say?
I was, actually.
Right? What is this wingnut going to say? You never know. Fred now gets to exhale. The Spygate, at least that's step one toward putting an end to Spygate, right?
So well, now it's got to be over.
So now that he has that off his mind, he can really he couldn't afford to have how many balls do you think he's going to keep below the surface? He couldn't afford to have Spygate and Brady's whereabouts really really concerning him. So now that Spygate's kind of on the back burner, he's directing.
But we know he'll be in town.
Brady.
He's got that Audi thing where he's giving away a. He's giving all his linemen
his
cars
linemen.
Or something.
And I know,
and he's got the bike race,
and he's got a make a wish with Randy Moss. You know, they're doing a Make-A-Wish.
Well, Randy Moss won one of those Make-A-Wish contests?
Yeah.
Is he dying?
Tom Brady.
Oh.
Now, they're teaming up to fulfill some wishes, I guess.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But none of these involve working out at Gillette Stadium.
I really, really like those things.
Yeah.
I can't help but cry.
Not?
I can't help but cry.
You've got to be handy to not like those things.
Chris Conley does those on ESPN all the time, and I end up bawling my eyes out.
Except when Bruschi does them.
Even, did you see that?
Not. Don't miss the fact, Paul, that the
balling
insurance company
up.
That didn't pay out on its claims
was
Teddy Bruschi's SBLI.
Yeah, but Paul, you used to cry at the Wonder Years.
And they are a fine insurance company at that.
The Wonder Years was a great show, and I defy
at
you
Wonder
to
Years.
Not be misty when it fades to black at the end. Tom's with me. Tom's a manly man.
Tom, I don't know. Tom's out. What's the matter with you today, Tom?
Nothing. I'm just listening.
He's a little disappointed.
Kind of like head down, not participating.
It's always like that.
This is like your post-draft thing. You know, that's like a woman after she has a baby. She gets all depressed. Is this what it's like for you?
No, I'm fine.
Fred taking shots now at postpartum.
I told you. He's feeling his oats now that this Spygate
September 11th, postpartum. But can we clarify what your exact stance is on Tom Brady?
I want his ass here.
Okay.
When?
Fred is back.
Yesterday.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
So you're concerned?
Yeah, it's a little bit much.
More about perception like we are, right?
Yes,
not necessarily
because... Well, no, it's not just perception for me. If it was just perception, I would laugh at all the people making fun of it.
No, I mean internal perception. I mean... The way players perceive
absolutely.
The environment that is the New England Patriots.
Yeah, I do.
Because I don't have any real concerns that Brady won't be prepared.
No, but
I'll throw it out there if he stinks, just so you know.
But that's not really the
first four-pick game I'm going to be referencing April and
my
May.
My point is I think that known from watching Brady that he will be prepared.
He wears down late in the year?
Preparation will not be the problem.
He chokes in the playoffs?
Well, according to one of our Ask PFWs, and Fred, that'll be posted shortly after we get back upstairs, some really, really negative Ask PFWs taking apart the two most storied quarterbacks in the history of this franchise. Two different emailers.
Babe
one on Brady
Perilli and
one
Tom
on
Brady?
Fred was a little slow on the upkeep on that one.
In a minute, he's going to say, Babe Perilli and Tom Brady?
Zach.
Some other news that people may not – well, actually, they didn't know now because it's all over Patriots.com. But last Thursday –
they still might not know.
We had
press at five.
Drew Bledsoe here and Willie McGinnis and Todd Rucci did a tour of
Scott
the hall.
Zolak.
And Scott Zolak.
And so
– why you got to tilt your head and roll your eyes?
Well, Zoe was following shortly closely behind Drew as you –
He didn't have to fly in, but they did
he was
a tour.
Actually, you guys got anything going on this week? I'm looking for something to do.
They did a tour of the construction site for the hall, and they recorded some stuff for one of the exhibits.
That was really good in junior high, too.
I can tell you that both Bledsoe and McGinnis were very, very overwhelmed by what the – I don't think they had any idea of the extent of this whole Hall of Fame museum thing. And, you know, I think in the back of their minds, they both figured that someday they'll be in it.
But you don't think McGinnis will be?
I wouldn't vote for him, but he probably will be.
That was while we were waiting for Fred to get here.
I think Bledsoe's a shoo-in.
I would think so.
Okay.
And then the other inside note, and we won't spoil the surprise, but if you're a member of the Vincent Brisby family, you might not want to go to these little storytelling sessions. Pairs that he's the brunt of the joke most of the time.
He's the Chris Ferrero of the Patriots.
Yes. a lot of good stories and you know,
it's great to see Drew, though. You know, it was a big day for me last Thursday.
We talked, you know, there was a lot of talk about Brady being such a practical joker and the stuff that went on between him and Castle and Matt Light and all, you know, all the people. Back then, I mean, these guys didn't have anything over Bledsoe and those guys. I mean, some of the stuff that Bledsoe pulled off were...
I remember the day that...
this is where it turns on Drew. Maybe if you had taken football a little more seriously, he would have been a good quarterback.
Exactly. It's okay that Brady could take away Matt Castle's tires off his car. That didn't stop him. But Jay Fiedler and Damon Heward had the big battle in Miami, and they went with Fiedler, and Heward eventually came here as a free agent. The Dolphins won a game late with a Fiedler touchdown run in the last seconds against Oakland, and he was on the cover of Sports Illustrated with the ball just over the goal line and his hand up in the air, and Drew took that cover and put it in Damon Hewitt's locker, and he was bull. It was very funny.
So
very
Drew
funny.
Couldn't really take a joke, but he certainly liked to dispense.
Well, they killed him.
They got him, but he
you
got
should have heard them.
Them.
You should have heard them making fun of his head the other day when we were walking around for the Andy.
Elephant encephalitis Andy, of the head is not.
You got nothing on Drew in terms of head size.
See, but I think we're pretty close.
They had they were trying to get one of the hard hats for the work construction area over at the hall, and they were just all over him. One after another. Rucci, Zolak, and Zolak's got a pretty big squash too.
Yeah, he does. Well, it's funny because Zolak had these glasses on, so Rucci took them from Bledsoe took them from Zolak, and he was wearing them. And then Rucci took him, and he's like, Ray-Ban, so they still make these things? He goes, look how big these are. And, like, Rucci's, like, sliding it up and down his head. He goes, I could wear these sideways. And I started laughing, and then Zolak made fun of me because he said, Curtis, you got a big head, too.
Zoe is the guy who can't take anything. Right. All you got to do is say something to Zoe, and he immediately lashes back Andy
like
Hart
me.
Style.
But Zolak.
Doesn't Eric wear Ray-Bans? Aren't those terrible glasses that he wears, Ray-Bans?
Zolak was a big practical joker, and he used to... He's a very good artist, and he would write cartoons about players.
Ooh.
And Zolak.
And I have some good stories.
But when they would get Bledsoe would come back full force. And, you know, he had money to spend, so some of his practical jokes were more elaborate.
That's what's not fair about these.
Yeah.
The guy with more money can have, you know, Ray Ventrone can't fire back, but Brady can hire Will McDonough and a whole team of guys to fire back.
Right.
That's not fair.
Well, Tom looks like one of those real radio guys right now. He's standing up in front of the mic, you know.
Looks like Eric. He's standing up and not saying anything.
Stripper says that Giselle is ruining Tom Brady, period. Yep, and there's somebody at the phone.
This is
at the door.
Chris Ferrer from Patriots.com. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. You suck, Andy.
Fred, I'd like to thank you for screwing up that entire process there. But anyway, we'll get to it. And after listening to Roger Goodell for 15 or 20 minutes, it's in honor of Roger that we do Roger Red Hat. That's Roger Red Hat. And you can probably figure out what looks like a hat and might be involved with an Urban Dictionary word.
All right. Speaking of urban, Jamie's in Houston, and he's on the phone right now. Jamie, how you doing?
I'm recovering, fellas. Thank you.
All right. What are you recovering from? The Super Bowl still?
You had to mention it, huh?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah. But.
Jamie, we got to look forward. We got to look forward.
I am optimistic. I'm optimistic, and that's exactly what you got to do. But it doesn't still make it hurt any less. But, again, moving on, the slogan book hasn't been closed yet. It's we're PFW, where we pull Patriot stock, where we pull no punches and eat your lunches.
There you go. That's good. I like it.
It's not terrible.
There you go.
Maybe we'll have to make a change last minute in the production of these T-shirts.
There you go. Well, yeah, and the lead time for the shirts, I understand, is like 2 years anyway, so... But that's my two cents, and another Urban Dictionary word of the day. How I felt about our experience in February was that I felt like I was Dirty Sanchez, and then killed, and then somebody Dirty Sanchez'd my corpse.
Oh, jeez.
Have a nice day, Jamie.
Stay cheery.
Take care. Have a nice
Jamie.
Day. Bye.
All right, that's Jamie from Houston,
apparently drunk, or really hasn't recovered from the Super Bowl. Just. Something snapped. Lost it.
As I said in the beginning of the show, Eric's not here. He's in Egypt exploring the pyramids and the Sphinx.
And his sexuality.
Is he emailing in?
Well, Andy said that he went to Egypt because he thought Sphinx was sphincter.
Yes.
So he took a one-way
trip. I said that off the air.
Stephen Westford says...
I missed that one. That one's actually funny.
It will be strangely quiet without Eric there again. I'll miss his 30 seconds of talking from 12 to 2. So apparently Eric goes to Egypt and the country falls apart. There was a tourist bus crash, possible riots over price increases, and a crackdown on Urfi marriage. That's a non-Islam sanctioned marriage. Doesn't Eric know he can do that kind of thing just over the border in Massachusetts?
Wait, there was a tourist bus crash?
I guess.
Eric's a tourist.
I was going to say, should we be concerned?
What's going on in the world, Fred? We got our boy Nick in China who's avoiding earthquakes. Eric's avoiding bus crashes.
We think.
Have you heard from Nick? Is he okay?
Or
Nick,
not
Nick
avoiding?
Nick is fine. Nick is fine. We have our
anywhere
our,
near him?
Our guy in China. No, the epicenter was actually 600 miles away, but because of the strength, if you're in a tall building, you could still feel it in Beijing.
That was a big one, right?
Yeah, 7.9.
Yeah, 7.9.
Steve also said, did Chris Ferreira really do the Monday news blitz? If so, exactly what do you need Eric for?
Chris Ferreira probably did the Monday news blitz.
Yeah, since no one else on staff knows how to do it.
We don't need
Eric
for anything.
What do you mean you don't know how to do it? It's very easy.
I don't know how to do it.
You just post it. You go by, you look at the clips, and you write a little thumb for each one.
You have to do the hyperlinks and stuff. I don't know how to do it on our shift F5 thing.
Yeah, don't hit F7. It'll all hit the fan if you do that.
What do you think Mike Felger's saying on SportsCenter?
Something bombastic and stupid.
With what Bill Belichick has done in the past. Look, there's been rumors for years. I've been covering this team for 9 years. Rumors for years that Matt Walsh has told people he taped the Rams walkthrough. Now, I don't know if those rumors are true. I don't know if he actually said them and was lying. No one knows, but that's what's out there. So what happened today is that either it turns out those rumors were bogus. Matt Walsh never told anybody that, A. B, he told people that but was lying about it. Or C, the whole thing's, you know, or C, it's true, right? Or C, it's true. And I think after today...
He got confused himself in the middle of his points.
A, B, C, or C is true. I don't know, D.
Mike Felger doesn't have his own show anymore, so he's on other people's shows.
Actually, he does.
He actually does. Just no one listens to it. Oh,
this ball that he threw... I thought they shut it up over at ESPN, the radio.
No, it's
no, they shut us up.
ESPN, the radio, is still on. Much like ESPN, the magazine.
Right.
Fred's having a great day.
Aaron writes in... he has two questions about the press conference. He says, one, are the Patriots going to get further penalized? No.
Wait, was that an Antoine Kayson joke?
What?
I think it might be.
Somebody asked who is this Antoine Kayson guy?
Oh, yeah, okay. So those are both jokes. Well done.
Well done. Good job.
Because the idiots there did
ask that.
I do have a question, though. How come it seemed like until the very end, the only people that got a microphone were Peter King and Adam Schefter? Everybody else I heard, like, muffled in the background.
I wonder if Peter King was with Adam Schefter, maybe. Because you couldn't hear, really, anybody else's voice.
I'm Peter King.
Well.
I'm special. I need to talk.
We heard Mike Lynch. We heard Judy Batista.
Yeah, we heard Judy. He even got a Judy from the commissioner.
Well, Peter King had his own microphone. You notice that?
Well, that's what I was. That you know, it really is.
That's
unbelievable.
What we're talking about.
It really, really is unbelievable. But did you find it odd, Fred? You know, not that we're picking apart like the procedure of the whole thing, but there was very little Boston presence there. I mean, they were all there, but
I saw. Yeah, they didn't ask questions.
Well, Mike Lynch was the only boss.
No, Herschel
asked one. I missed them.
He was over on the left.
Was I off getting the food then?
Because he asked a couple.
Did he ask
a question?
I didn't hear him ask anything. Maybe I was gone when he asked a question too.
Good thing Paul wasn't covering this press conference.
Well, Bill wants to know.
I was gone for a while.
Bill wants to know if Gary was there. Goodell addressed a Gary. No, I'm wrong. Gary speak, I can tell your Gary's not mildly retarded.
Yeah, that's Gary Myers from one of those New York papers.
Yeah, and he also mildly retarded.
Only one of the most highly respected writers out there.
But he also has a fear of elevators.
He also points to a website called thesportslawprofessor.blogspot.com.
But his strippers run that? They have no interest.
They're arguing the rule, and they say the rule is so messed up, lawyers are even arguing over it. So it's true.
What's true?
That the original rule in the management book,
and
is
I'm sure
not
there's a rule,
well.
Many rules in all sports
agree,
that could be
you.
Argued.
I agree with Fred. I think it was not written well.
But there's rules in every sport that I think could be argued.
It's right, and there's people taking advantage of those rules.
It's completely inconceivable.
Exactly. Look at the injury stuff
in
this league.
But when the boss up in the big office starts to clamp down and you still ignore it, you get in trouble.
It's completely inconceivable that it wasn't understood, but I agree 1,000% with Fred that it was poorly written.
Joe in Roslindale says, good thing the team already cut Rosie Colvin. At least they won't have to deal with the personnel shuffling when his suspension for scalping the 12 Super Bowl tickets. He would have been prime suspect. Well,
Matt
Walsh was
there. It was before him.
He wasn't here.
He definitely would have been.
This year he was selling it with a car, right? He was selling a car that happened to come with Super Bowl tickets on eBay. I don't know nothing about that. He's
Rosie.
I guess Florio is writing, this is from Strippers, but it's from Pro Football Talk, that Walsh is going to be the star witness in the Pats versus the Herald suit.
So Florio thinks it's going to happen?
No, I obviously he would be the star witness if there was a suit.
Do you think it's going to happen?
I tend not to. I just think
because when you were telling everybody that they should sue, they ignored you.
No, I don't know if they should or not, but I know that it's a really
the things
it'll
that you
take
pick
years.
To say and the things that you decide not to say astound me every day.
What?
Robert from UK says in Goodell's statement, he said Matt Walsh wanted these tapes to use for job interviews. Isn't that clear-cut evidence to say that the rest of the league cheats? Why the hell would the rest of the league want to cheat if they're not going to do this?
I didn't really buy that excuse.
I figured, though, that when Goodell asked him, why'd you keep these tapes, that was going to be his answer.
And it's a good answer.
It is a good answer.
Like, if I take Patriots Football Weeklies, I can say I took them because I wanted examples of what I did.
Although,
you could claim I stole them.
Any three-year-old could have done what he did, but, you know, I don't think it means it's not.
A weasel.
But don't you think,
I agree with you, Fred.
But, Fred, don't you think you were calling him a weasel and all the fans were on him, but in the end, he helped the Patriots?
I think that, you know, he did what he had to do.
But people went and they tried to get him.
He's still a weasel.
You have a future in upper management.
He's still a weasel.
Isn't he in upper management?
Not really. He claims he doesn't want to be in upper management.
I got some people in Hawaii that might be looking him up now.
See?
I'll put a bullet in his head.
But, you know, we
how much?
We do have
25,000.
That's it?
Yeah.
You're out of your mind.
We still have to see what happens when they're meeting with Spector at 1:30. Supposedly,
and they're holding
right
another
now.
Press conference, right?
And Spector's going to go march out on Capitol Hill steps and act like an ass. But we'll have to hear
unbiased coverage here at Patriots.
You know, but
this is the NFL Network version of the show.
I'll be interested to see or hear what Spector now says if he's satisfied.
And Walsh could speak at that, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that's what
his lawyer said that they're going to speak once after they speak with Spector.
That was supposed to be at like 5:30 or 5. So that's probably going to be like tonight. By the time it happens now, they're already so far behind.
It means in my world, it might never happen because I might never see it.
That's true.
Okay.
I'll let people like Fred decipher it for me. Then I'll know really exactly what happened.
Then I'll buy the opposite.
Roger from Fort Myers, Florida, says the league should refund the fines and give the Patriots back their first-round pick. The punishment should be allowing all their opponents this coming season to film the Patriots' signals. All of them, offense, defense, special teams, calls for Gatorade, etc. If the Patriots do not make the playoffs, that will teach them a lesson. It would be appropriate discipline. But if they did, they would have to be considered the best team that ever played, doing it with a great disadvantage. So. Very funny.
See, for a while there.
Pat Cartman.
For a while there, we got away from worrying about the best thing ever, the best running back ever, the best wide receiver, you know. But we're back to, they'd have to be considered the best team ever.
Well,
so we're still focused on the things that aren't important.
Just so you know, they had a chance at that best team ever thing and choked.
Instead of just focusing on winning Super Bowls like we used to in the good old days, now we're worried about too many other things.
Yes, I'm worried about our legacy. I am.
But why not just worry about winning? Doesn't winning Super Bowls make your legacy the greatest?
Until we clear up this legacy thing, until we clear this up, 20 years from now, people are going to be saying, they're a good team.
You're talking about Spygate legacy.
Right.
Oh, okay. Now, I'm just talking about how
he's
good
they are. He's talking about how it was just winning until it was about breaking records and winning Super Bowl, and all
I
that.
I agree with you.
Undefeated.
But this is step one today, Fred, I think, of putting Spygate in the past. And I think when Spector, I'm assuming that Matt Walsh is going to say everything to Spector that he said
to
Goodell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was part of the agreement.
Right. He has to. Otherwise, we're back to square one.
So I think this is step one of Spygate finally coming to a close.
Danny in Orlando, I'm first-time emailer and have been listening to your show for quite some time now. I just wanted to get your guys' opinion on the dreaded Super Bowl loss. Based on what I witnessed on the Patriots' sideline, it seemed to me that from the start of the game that Brady and Moss had kind of a whatever look on their faces. Do you think Goodell told them at the beginning of the game that they better not win the game due to the whole Spygate incident because it would make the NFL look bad?
I think that's exactly what happened.
And P.S., he says, I think Eric is probably on his 9th Egyptian gas mask from a bunch of dudes. Just have to look that up. I can only imagine.
Can't be good.
I agree with Tom. I do think that Goodell put the word down. As a matter of fact, I think he went into the Patriots locker room before the game.
He actually asked me to tell him.
He addressed the whole team.
And that's why they took the lead late, because Manning,
they wanted to make sure it looked good.
And, yeah, they were doing it for the drama. That's why they had that great play at the end and all that, just for the drama.
Ventrone had that big hit.
Yep.
Strippers
that had to be scripted.
We talked about any insider a little earlier. Strippers thinks that Lori is the insider.
Yeah.
Speaking of insider.
Oh, now that there's a line.
What?
I could always eat your salad.
You just crossed that
line. He hasn't crossed it. He's been insider.
Oh, now, okay.
Gary, while we're on this topic of saying inappropriate things, do you think it's inappropriate for a female anchor on ESPN this morning to be discussing LeBron James' dunk on Kevin Garnett and says, let's go to Mike Woodson to get his opinion of LeBron's man jam?
Well,
wouldn't man jam imply something? Look it up. I bet it's on Urban Dictionary.
For some people, it can.
She shouldn't say it.
It was probably a poor choice of words.
Yes.
Let's
Plus,
see.
She sucked. That's how she saw her.
Millie. I don't believe I've ever heard from Millie before. She's in Montreal. She says, Fred, don't ever leave the show again. Last Thursday's so-called show was without a doubt, the worst ever. It consisted basically of almost 2 full hours of Andy reading stupid slogans from emails for a T-shirt that's probably not going to happen anyway.
Well, first of all, that's not my problem. Everybody emailed in slogans.
While Tom and Paul were going, 2 hours, a disaster. I usually listen to you guys via the podcast for 3 years now. But this was the first time I had to cut it short. This was worse than the Paul.
I can't believe it was the first time.
She said this was worse than the Paul Alone show.
That's
or the
two.
First Eric as a host show.
That's two that have been worse than my
show. Yeah, but
solo
she didn't complain.
That's a legendary show, the Paul Alone show.
But she didn't even complain about my hosting. She was complaining about the fact that emails. I couldn't do anything about that.
It was bad. It was nonstop for the last hour. It was terrible.
That's all the Pac-Man, what's his name? Pac-Man.
What are you battling?
Jones?
Are you drunk? Man Jones. No, how we say he gets better because he hasn't played.
Yeah,
Paul's
yeah.
show gets better because yeah. I don't think people have heard it in a while.
Because
maybe
you're hearing shows that were actually worse, and they're bumping me up a few notches.
Man Jam is, in fact, on UrbanDictionary.com, and not surprisingly, the sentence in which they use it,
has nothing to do with LeBron
Eric
James.
Is such a, and it dot, 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 go, but Eric is the choice of description because Eric knows a lot about Man Jam.
Strippers just put it up.
No, there's a strenuous process to get words up on Urban Dictionary.
Andy would know. Matt from Quincy says, sorry to bring it up again, but I just can't seem to get a straight answer on this. Is it or is it not legal to tape another team's offensive or defensive signals?
I have no idea.
It's illegal.
You cannot tape. You can write them down. You can take photographs of them.
So what's the whole thing about in a building with a roof and three sides or whatever?
That's taping the game.
You can't tape anything outside of a structure.
Right. But even in that structure, you can't tape sides.
See, I think you should be allowed to tape anything. That way, you won't have to worry about it.
But I think that's one of Belichick's problems with this whole thing. Both teams have a camera, and as you saw in the 2000 and 2001 video, all the guy needs is to swing it over 10 degrees, and now the camera's pointing on the sideline.
Or the cheerleader.
So how can you he hates rules that cannot be enforced. He hates that. Maybe because he figures everyone else is doing it too.
That gets back to that word, I don't know, but
I know.
Crapophobia.
I agree with you, but that's one of his problems with the whole thing. Matt says many people claim that the team's only violation was the location of the camera, but that's not true.
Not according to Roger Goodell.
That is not true. I believe that the location was not the issue. They cheated because they videotaped signals.
Yes.
They got in trouble because they videotaped signals. They didn't cheat.
Fred, will you stop that?
TG and Joyzy, at first I liked the guy, but the more I read, I'm starting to think Goodell ain't so good after all. Seems he really screwed this whole thing up. If he was truly investigating the issue, why would he waste his time with some former disgruntled video assistant? Shouldn't he be talking to people like Rat Genie, Rack, and Charlie Weiss? Rat Genie knew what was going on. He benefited from video practices in question when he was with the team. Why didn't Goodell speak with him?
What makes you think he didn't?
That's right. That's a good point, Paul, because Goodell said he spoke to 50 people.
Right.
Maybe if he did, if so, the media sure as hell didn't make note of it. The media machine has really turned into a monster. Hey, Goodell, your hero Pete Rozelle's strength and background was his media and PR savviness, something we now know you lack. Not good in this age of information blogs and inter-Googles. So that's TG and Joyce's take on this.
The commish could use a big splash in the positive. He needs something where he comes out looking like he really runs the league well.
Well, I
think he does a good job. I just don't like the way he's handled this thing.
I think they had
nothing to do with the Patriots. I think
it's been going on for a year.
He's been inconsistent with how he's dealt with
this. Another thing that really bothers me, and if it bothers him as half as much as it did, I can kind of understand why he had the knee-jerk reaction and destroyed those tapes, is when they had those tapes that they got from the Jets game, who the hell in the league office leaked them out to Jay Glazer?
To his
wife.
That's
what bothers me.
To his wife's network.
You know, who the hell did that?
His wife.
Well, I don't know. It's just ridiculous. Joe says, one of your other emailers.
I think I just saw William Green's only ever good run in the as an NFL player.
Wow.
Sorry.
One of your
Fred
other.
Goes, wow.
One of your other emailers did a performance review for everyone but Gary. I've waited a couple weeks now, but I don't think one is forthcoming.
He'd have to perform.
So here is my review of Gary in draft speak. Pros. One of the best available at his position, especially at a price the Patriots are willing to pay. Two, shows good anticipation, able to turn off microphones times. Three, reacts well to the play, able to interject appropriate sound clips right on time. Four, can really blow up a play. Seriously, this guy really blows. Cons, attendance is an issue. At times causes team to turn to subpar replacements with ambiguous gender status. At times loses focus, has been noted to zone out and begin mumbling about red kings and black queens, may have underlying undiagnosed psychiatric issue. Three, off-field issues, rumors of an affinity for underage girls. May only be a matter of time before pictures of Gary and R. Kelly surface on thedirty.com. Summary. Clear first-round talent, although off-field issues may leave him unavailable, may leave him available in the third round unless the Bengals take him. And then he has a quick question. Tom should probably be here for this. But anyway, he says, I listened to Matt Slater's interview after he was drafted. Like everyone else, I was puzzled by the pick. However, I was even more puzzled by the fact that he had visited about a half a dozen other teams. How many potential late-round draft picks do teams bring in to work out?
Did he say visited or had contact?
He said visited half a dozen other teams.
I don't buy it.
I don't buy it.
I think he's saying someone talked to me from a team.
Right. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't visit anybody.
Right.
But there's a lot of low round picks. I actually think that's the majority of the visits are used up. This year might not be a good case of that because they had such a high pick. They were able to bring in, you know, four or five of the top rated players. But usually when you're picking down there, there's a lot of guys you have to kind of, you know, kick the tires on and figure out where you want to go. What is it, 30 visits?
Yep.
I think that a lot of those guys, I bet you half of those guys are mid to late round picks of some sort.
Hey, Fred, you're in important meetings. You can promote ideas. We have a problem. We think the Patriots are getting screwed.
They always do.
I agree. You know how teams are allowed to have days where they visit with local prospects, either grew up in your area or from schools in your area?
Yeah.
I think that's unfair. Because teams from Florida have an automatic advantage where there's ridiculous football teams in high school. And, if you look at all the players that either go to Florida State, whatever, or went to high school in the greater Miami area that ended up, you're talking about 50% of the draft picks. You know, you throw in Texas and California, there's such a ridiculous advantage for those
places. Ohio, Pennsylvania, Texas, Florida, California.
Well, I would even eliminate Ohio and Pennsylvania. I think those have been passed by
Texas, California, and Florida.
And that's not fair. I mean, the Minnesota Vikings, I get to invite three people.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
That rule is archaic.
Bring it up to Bill Polian, and he'll bring it up to the competition committee. But because
he's getting screwed now too, because Notre Dame stinks.
Right? They would benefit. Indiana, you get a couple schools, but you're not going to get the same you get in Florida and Texas, California, getting screwed.
There's also other rules that this is not necessarily against the team, but when they have the pro days and all the small schools don't have pro days,
so they come to the big.
They go to like around here, like the New England schools. Anybody right. Like the kid from Bentley that got drafted, he went to usually those guys go to BC's pro day. Well, do you know that if you're outside of a certain radius from Boston,
right. What's
like
his
Ricky
name?
Santos could not go to right. BC's pro day.
That's right.
Which, by the way, did you happen to see that Ricky Santos got cut already?
Yeah. I'm wondering, what was he trying to be?
No, a quarterback.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. I mean,
is he an athlete at all?
He's...
No.
He's, no.
Let's see. Sean McLaughlin has a list of things that they discovered as a result of today's meeting. One, they found out that Elvis had died. Two, after studying the tapes, they feel James Gandolfini died at the end of The Sopranos, and it was done Carmella. What?
Done by Carmella?
Done by Carmella. Wow. Three, the Sasquatch is real because they saw it in an episode of The $6 Million Man.
Four, Paul not happy.
Drew Bledsoe spent more time in Foxborough last week than Tom Brady.
Oh, I like that one.
Fred's all over that one.
Bill Belichick keeps a secret camera in the gray hoodie he wears, and that is why the red hoodie in the Super Bowl. Okay. Arlen Specter
says... Fred didn't like that one, by the way,
Arlen Specter says there is a tape of the Super Bowl. When asked about it, Walsh says, I know the guy that taped it. His name was Steve Sable. So there you have it. More nonsense on more nonsense, which goes to show this has been the biggest waste of time I've ever heard. The more you hear about this tape gate, the more ridiculous it is. It's time to talk about serious football subjects, like what game will the Pats wear their throwbacks this year?
They won't.
Are they wearing them this year? I thought it was next year.
No, they have a new throwback now. They're going to a red.
Yeah, but I thought it was next year they were wearing that.
And it's not a throwback. It's an alternate.
Right. It's an alternate. It's red now.
And it's next year.
Right.
Not this year.
He just says right to whatever you say.
To which is telling me right. I don't know if it's this year or next year because he keeps saying right.
Speaking of red, I like the red on the side of that museum you're building. That really pops.
The what?
Is that going to be
the
that
red.
Color?
In the museum?
The side.
They're not done yet, are they?
They're putting on bright red stuff that looks like it's the final layer.
Oh, good. I didn't notice it.
Andy.
I didn't notice it.
Right.
He's lost it. Flat out lost it.
Right.
On all levels.
So Andy likes the red on the outside of the hall. Good. I'm glad. I'll call the architect. Tell him that you approve.
I hate you.
Todd in Nova Scotia.
He says I'm negative because I think CBS Scene's going to close by December, but I tell him something I really like, and he
opens in December.
I was going to say, I think you're being positive there.
Todd in Nova Scotia says, hey, Andy, Judy Batista was on the NFL Network. Did you get a tingle in your you-know-what?
Who said that out there?
Who said that?
Todd in Nova Scotia.
You got to be kidding me. Her ass was in HD.
Oh.
More importantly, why is that out there?
How does anybody know that one?
Paul likes one of the inside tracks.
Hey,
we're airing it all, baby.
Not anymore.
Apparently the not good-looking one, if there is a good-looking one.
No, there was not a good-looking one.
One that blew up like a balloon, I think.
Yes.
All right.
Does your wife know about that?
Probably.
Let's see.
Chris Fuamatu Ma'afala just caught a pass in the Steelers game. Formerly signed an offer sheet here with New England. Do you remember that, Fred? He was one of those restricted free agents the Patriots tried to sign 1 year. Unsuccessfully.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sorry for that tangent. Yeah, right, right.
Taz says, is Taz a new emailer?
He says he emailed in last.
Yeah, he says he's going to try week. To make sure he contributes to every show.
Good, good. We like contributions.
Anyway, he says, good stuff. Get off Brady's back. Hasn't he done enough?
No.
I'm sure he'll be back and will work. We can't ask for more from anyone. Is Moss even working out and stuff? Maybe he's waiting for him. And I totally agree with
Goodell. Oh, that's a good attitude. Let's just wait until Brady gets here before we start.
So I'm going to see it by July 27.
My whole point
that's
is
Andy's point.
Maybe Moss is waiting for him. He's thinking, I'll work out when Brady does,
right.
And Brady hasn't started yet. So
right.
Moss is starting a NASCAR team.
I totally agree with Goodell telling them that they better not win because cheaters don't win, BS. It would look bad to children and all that public relations crap. Goodell also seemed pretty pissed when saying he never believed Belichick's excuse. His face kind of looked annoyed. I'm sure if he could have, he would have suspended him. Imagine getting the job, then dealing with the Spygate crap. It is tough.
There's no question in my mind the Super Bowl is fixed.
If he wanted to suspend him, he could have. He's the commissioner. Apparently, based on the look I got, he could not.
The Herald, of all papers, to reveal the story, the team's own city goes and rats them out. Couldn't have waited till after the Super Bowl. I hate that paper and will never read or buy it. If I need Patriots news, I'll just listen to you guys.
Yeah.
And about Kevin Jones, I have Maroney in my fantasy league. I figured this was going to be his big year. Kind of like Corey Dillon's first year, but this Kevin Jones thing could screw that up. Think he will have a big impact that would make me think twice about having Maroney on my team?
First of all, it's Maroney's third year. I got to be honest with you, Taz. I'm not looking forward to your emails every show.
Wow.
Wait, should we run an ad somewhere that we are the home for scorned Herald readers? Because, you know, he's a guy saying he's only going to come to us now. Should we do that?
Yeah, we should give...
If we're really going to stick it to the Herald...
I'll take the Herald.
Home for homers.
The Herald's circulation is going down, but I'll take it.
So what's the Globe's new motto going to be?
The original home for homers.
They're the big level
Here's
home for
what
homers.
The Herald should do. to win back their readers, to show them that they're going to have unbiased Patriots coverage.
Like the Globe.
No, they insert PFW once a week into the Herald.
I like it.
And it goes to all this.
How does that unbiased?
Because we're unbiased.
Putting the team paper in that.
We're unbiased.
Well, the Globe's been doing it.
No, I know. Oh. They are the official team.
No, but we're less biased than the Herald is. Right?
What? The Globe? Yes.
Right? So
we're less biased than both papers. We're more negative than the Globe and more positive than the Herald.
You could have said anything right there. You just say right?
We are the most unbiased. I agree with you. Because the Globe is clearly way more positive than we are about everything. And the Herald is way more negative.
Right. Where we should be.
We are the middle. We're the 17th estate, as you said earlier. Whichever one it is.
Right. One of them.
One of those there.
Diana is from Long Island. And she says, I'm relieved that Goodell seems to be putting Spygate to rest. I have serious doubts that Spectre is going to be willing to do the same. Do you guys think that Spectre is really going to let this end, or will he continue to pressure the NFL to go on and on with this witch hunt that has gone absolutely nowhere? Personally, considering I paid $4.03 a gallon for regular gas this morning, it makes me sick that Congress doesn't think they have more important issues to be focusing on other than some idiot expat's employee.
Is it Congress or is it Spectre?
Where do you
she
live?
She says loving the show without
Long
Eric.
Island.
Wow, $4.
I don't think he has anything left to
pursue.
Beat.
He doesn't have a...
You want to make $5 the hard way?
They showed the tapes, and Goodell,
right.
If he wants to see him again.
Yeah, I'll show him again.
And,
I'm going to be very surprised if
Walsh,
Spectre
yeah,
continues
Walsh
it after
doesn't have anything to say.
Right, I don't see what he could do. But I would like to say I don't really think Congress, quote-unquote, has been pursuing this.
Plus,
Spectre has.
That's one of the things.
It's one guy.
That's one of those comments that kind of irritates me. Doesn't Spectre and or the Senate have anything better to...
No.
In all honesty, how much time do you think this is taking up for Arlen Spectre?
Right.
That argument is so stupid. I could take anything and say, shouldn't they be curing diabetes?
Right.
Or, I mean, come on. The Senate, listen, let's be honest. There's a public record on how many days these people take off.
Right.
They got a lot of time that they're not doing anything.
And the votes they skip every time they run for something, and there's always, well, he skipped every vote that was ever important to his constituency. And
except for the ones on Comcast. Dave from Storrs, Connecticut, that was it. I can barely see the signals. And Walsh is one horny son of a bitch looking at the cheerleaders like that.
Some people claim he was instructed to do that.
In all seriousness, though, think about this. The Pats are what, 13-1 versus the Bills since that tape? But if the tapes were used to build a library of tendencies of head coaches, how would this work in the AFC East? Every team has a ton of coaching staff turnovers, so wouldn't that suggest more towards the legitimacy of the wins over divisional teams? And Rich Eisen also makes a good point. Why did coaches not turn them in earlier? Waving at the camera? That's stupid. They would have nabbed them way earlier. I don't know about you guys, but seeing the videos produce no shock value for me, but actually makes me more comfortable. Good call by Goodell to show us the tapes.
Good call by him or public outcry? Well, where the hell are the tapes?
Look, I'm as much of the Patriots as you are, Dave, but obviously they wouldn't continue to do this if there wasn't some benefit.
Right.
I think that some teams realized that they had changed the signals and they knew what they were doing and were waving and laughing. Other teams, you know, maybe had no clue what was going on. And in those cases, this really did benefit the Patriots.
You only win one game because of it. That's a difference.
Pretty much every coach that we saw today is still in the league in some capacity or was still in the league over the last 4, 5, 6 years. So it doesn't matter if they're still in Miami or Buffalo or whatever they are. There's benefits to be gained, or they wouldn't be doing it.
Well, that's the whole theory on a library.
Paul, one coach was in with the Frankfurt Galaxy, as Rich Eisen was. Ryan Fire.
Yeah, not surprising.
Rich Eisen was an embarrassment.
Yeah,
today.
Terrible.
Almost as embarrassing as he was the day that the Hall of Fame members were
when
were
he was
announced.
Singing "Hail to the Redskins."
But at least today, I'm guessing his boss brought him into the office and said, "I thought you did a fine job out there. Really good tone you set." That day, he was just an embarrassment.
Well, the NFL Network needed a Fred today.
Right.
They got it.
They needed a clown.
I'd be remiss if I didn't read this email. It's from Forrest in Tennessee. It says, Gary's the best. Recently, I received a voice oncology. It's like a plastic surgery to your voice. Now I sound just like Gary. So you the man, Gary. Keep playing those stupid yet funny sound bites. You guys rock in Forrest. He's age 13.
That's all I have to say about that.
And he's got a voice oncology?
He had surgery on his voice.
Isn't that what that kid who's going to win American Idol did? Didn't he have something wrong with him?
I don't know.
His father got banned.
You know, that's not from another show, by the way, that he's been on. That guy's been trying to make it for like 20 years, but is still surprised when people cheer.
That's not going to end well for David Archuleta with that father.
No, he'll end up having to sue his parents. Be one of those guys, you know, Gary Coleman.
TG's also very ticked off in the fact that, as he says, the Patriots are covering Walsh's expenses to get from Hawaii. I don't think that's the case.
I was going to say, I read something that said that the part of the agreement with the NFL was that the Patriots had to do something and then the agreement with the NFL had to pay his expenses.
Yeah, the quote he has here is that after more than 2 months of negotiations, lawyers for the league and Walsh finally agreed April 23rd to terms that would allow him to talk with Goodell. They include an agreement by the Patriots not to sue Walsh and to pay his legal expenses and his airfare to New York from Hawaii. Yeah,
to me, those are two separate things.
I think again, it's poorly worded. It sounds like the Patriots are agreeing and paying, but I think it's the league is paying.
That's how I read it anyway. Yeah.
The league paid for this. It's not the Patriots. I can tell you that much.
That was another little crack I liked when he said for one of the minor infractions that the penalty would be a fine generally. I think it was the IR player practicing.
Right.
And then he said I don't think I'll be adding that to the $750,000 already fine, you know. Because that fine probably would have been like $5,000 or $1,000 or something ridiculous.
And people would have to write $751,000.
Right. $422.32.
Robin Ashburn says you had an emailer the other day who said they were just getting back to getting some Patriots news and you guys were surprised. I can say the same thing here. It was a tough season with Spygate and being called cheaters. There were so many ups and downs. I just started listening to you guys again right near the draft, so thanks for bringing me back.
Well, we had a good April, and based on the fact that all these people are now coming back, we should have record numbers throughout
the
summer.
Our numbers are on the rise, Freddie.
All right, well, that's great. Thank you for coming back. We hope you stay
Five
with us because we'll be here next Thursday, or this Thursday, because even though it's next Thursday, Andy wants me to make sure that I say it's also this Thursday.
It's not next Thursday. It's this Thursday.
And we'll have more of this. I'm sure there's going to be more reaction and talk about football, and we'll do that on Thursday.